anything I could tell anyone, whether it relates to spirituality or politics or life in general, is this is where to start. Don't be a butthole.
Diz Wins Radio, episode 447, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, no sponsor for this episode, but just wanted to give you a heads up before we dive in that today's episode is a little bit heavier than normal, but this might be the kind of episode that could really make a difference with sharing it. And I'm not saying that from a selfish perspective of like, you know, share my show and help more people to find the show. But as we go through, I think you'll understand where I'm going at with that. You know, this is the kind of episode that somebody might really could benefit from hearing. And you may not know the person that would benefit most from this. So it may be difficult for you to say, hey, you know, so-and-so, why don't you listen to this episode of the podcast? Because I think it might really help you. But that doesn't mean that you don't know someone who would benefit from this. So I would just encourage you, whenever you listen to this, to maybe go ahead and share it. Throw it up on Facebook, throw it up on Twitter or wherever. Because odds are there's somebody in your social circle who's battling some of the things that I talk about with my guests in today's episode. So this might be one of those episodes that could change your life. And you know, and the only way for the person who needs it to hear it may be for you to share it. So if you would consider doing that, again, not from a selfish perspective, but from a paying it forward perspective, I would really appreciate it. And now let's go ahead and get into today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today is someone who has struggled with anxiety and depression in the past, but one of the things that has helped him with his recovery from a suicide attempt is running. And now he's using running as a tool to connect with others that have a story of struggle, survival, and or loss. My guest today is also an author, a fellow podcaster with 3 podcasts. I don't know how he does that, but maybe we'll get into that as we go as well. He's also a speaker and a coach, and it is my pleasure to be able to go a few easy miles today with Mr. Steve Austin. Thanks for joining us today, Steve.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is certainly mine. We got lots of things to talk about, as always. But guys, if you want to check out more about Steve and all of the things he's got, because I know as much as I would love to say we're going to talk about most of the stuff that's going on with Steve and all of the avenues and angles and things like that, I know we're not going to get to even probably half of it. So make sure you head over to iamsteveaustin.com is the website. He's got all of his speaking information and podcasts and coaches and books and all the things, all those running stuff as well. And you connect with him also on Instagram and Twitter with this handle is the same as his URL. So it's just at I am Steve Austin, all spelled out, all one word, in both places. And on Facebook, if you want to connect there, the you know, link there, or the thing to search for is Grace is Messy. Or if you just go facebook.com/Grace is Messy, you'll be directed right to Steve's page there as well. And as per usual, we'll have the links to everything that we talk about today, all of Steve's contact information and whatever else that makes sense to link to in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/447. So, Steve, the way we start off the show is with a very simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple answer and sometimes it's a bit complex and requires some unpacking. And either way is fine. It's just a fun place to start the conversation. And that is just simply to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Yeah, for sure. My favorite distance is 3 miles. It's not difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not very long. Doesn't take a lot of time. Just did 3 this morning before the podcast, but it is special for me. It is important for me. I, here just, oh, I don't know, about 2 months ago, launched a new project called Run 3 for Me. And there's the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Run 3 for Me. The information, if anybody's interested, is at run3forme.com. And Run 3 for Me does exactly what you mentioned in the intro. It marries my 2 big passions, which are mental health advocacy and running. I love to run. I'm not, I couldn't give you, you know, all these PRs and all these great long distances that I've done and all that. I'm fairly new at it, but I love it because of what it does for my mental health. And, when I really started getting into this thing and realizing what a great tool it is for managing and defeating in a lot of ways my anxiety, for helping with my depression, I thought, you know what? What a cool way to be able to give back to people who are fighting really hard to survive after a suicide attempt, or running in memory of those that people have lost to suicide. And so that's what I do. Usually about three times a week, I do a Run 3 For Me run. People email me their story, either their personal story because they're in recovery, or the story of someone that they care about who is in recovery, or someone they care about that they've lost. And they share whatever they're willing to share with the great big wide world and ask me to run. And it is just the coolest thing. So I'm a person of faith. So while I'm running, I pray for them. I think about them. Just try to be open to, I don't know, send them good vibes or whatever you want to call it. But I have them on my mind and in my heart. And it's just a really, I don't know, it's a really special time for me every week to connect with those who are fighting the very same fight that I'm fighting.
I want to get into a whole bunch of other things, but since we're on Run 3 for Me right now, we'll dive into this as well. Is there a significance to the three, or why the number three, I guess, for lack of a better way of asking?
I'm a writer. Three for me, it rhymes. Okay. Like, you know, it's so easy. No, but really the goal ultimately is, this is brand new, like I say, maybe 2 months now. But I think 3 miles is something that, you know, maybe somebody who's not some half marathon or a marathon or whatever, most people who run a little bit can run 3 miles. Anybody can run a 5K, I think. And so the goal eventually is to start some run clubs, some support groups where we go out and we run once or twice a month together, and then we go get a beer or we go get a cup of coffee or whatever we do. But we, you know, we talk about things. And so that's eventually the goal. And so I wanted to keep it small enough that anybody could do it. You could walk 3 miles, right. You could run 3 miles, whatever. But I think it's pretty manageable.
Yeah. That certainly makes sense. And you know, the fact that it rhymes doesn't hurt as well.
Sure.
So we touched on in the intro, and it's all over your website. It's not a secret that you attempted to take your life not too long ago. I think what 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. Is that my memory?
It'll be 5 years in September. Yeah.
Okay. So I believe it says on your website that's kind of where, you know, where this current phase of your life is almost began. You know, that was a
that's
big
exactly right.
Obviously a big moment, a big turning point. You know, however much you're willing to share is fine, but can we get into maybe a little bit of where you were and why you were going down that path, why you attempted to take your life, and then we'll kind of maybe get into how running has come in. Because if I'm correct, running wasn't a big part of your life before that, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. So can we start there, and then we'll get into the running after we kind of hear some of that back part of the story?
Sure, we can. Absolutely. It's funny because it's always more uncomfortable for the person asking the question for the first time than it is for me to talk about. It's like, would that be all right? Yeah, we can talk about it. It's what I do.
Right.
it'll be 5 years in September. And I mentioned a minute ago that I'm a person of faith. I grew up in a very strong conservative Christian, evangelical Christian home in the buckle of the Bible Belt. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, where I've been all my life. And grew up that way, was very involved all my life in church every time the doors were open, involved in youth leadership as a teenager, and then went on to a couple of years of Bible college. And then became a youth pastor and a worship leader for about 10 years. And all of that is pretty simple, cut and dried. But behind the scenes, I was dealing with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are dealing with a lot of stuff, or maybe like me, not dealing with their stuff. And that was my case. I was burying stuff down deep and sweeping stuff under the rug because the world that I grew up in taught you to put your best face forward. And I think that's what most of us have learned. You look at this Facebook culture, the Instagram culture that we live in today. You share the photo of your new baby. You share the photo of your new car. You share the photo of you at the finish line with your new PR. You share the photo of you with your new house. It's all of these great, new, wonderful, beautiful, happy, celebratory things. But we don't share the photos when we're secretly addicted or we're having a breakdown. We don't share the divorce photo. You know, maybe right. You do, but we don't share those deep, hard, difficult things that are uncomfortable to talk about. And then you add on top of it this very heavy religious environment that I grew up in that, in the words of my friend JJ Landis, she wrote a book called Some Things You Keep. And in it, she talks about how we can't just take a, quote, magic Jesus pill and suddenly everything's all right. And I mean, no disrespect when I to people of faith. I am still one. But I have learned in 5 years of recovery from a suicide attempt, in working through recovery from childhood sexual abuse that was never dealt with. I know this is heavy stuff. I don't know if you talk about this kind of heavy stuff on your show or not.
Every once in a while. So we can do it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, so I didn't start dealing with even childhood sexual abuse that happened when I was not quite 4 years old. I didn't start dealing with that until after the suicide attempt at the age of 28, 29. And so I have learned in the last 5 years that, yeah, good for you. If faith is your thing, great. Cling to it. Pray, read your Bible, go to church, do those things. Nothing in the world wrong with it. But sometimes that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make you less of a faithful person. It doesn't make you not man enough, not woman enough, not strong enough, not Christian enough, not husband enough or wife enough. It doesn't make you not enough. That's what shame tells us. Shame tells us that we are not enough. And that comes from Brené Brown. But when we see that we are a whole person, mind, body, and spirit, then it is absolutely okay and right and appropriate to do the faith thing, do that spiritual side if that's your thing, but go to therapy, go to counseling. You might need medication for a while, and that's okay. You may need to stay on the psych ward for a week. Been there, done that. Scary as can be. But, you know, there are just times that we walk through the deepest, darkest moments of our lives, and we need more than what my friend JJ said, more than just a magic Jesus pill. And so, I was a youth pastor. I was a worship leader. I was the guy who looked like he had it all together, was on top of the world, and nobody knew that it felt like the world was on top of me, that I was having flashbacks, that I was taking my anxiety prescription in the bathroom stall behind closed doors at the church so that no one would know, because where I come from, if you have a mental illness, well, that has to do with spiritual things, and you might have a demon, and we may need to prep to cast demons out of you, all kind of crazy stuff.
Right.
So there's a lot of shame and stigma attached to mental illness in the world in general. But then when you get into faith communities, it's even worse. And so my goal now in recovering is to help fight that stigma, to say that, yes, I have a mental illness. Yes, I have a diagnosis, but I am more than my diagnosis. I have depression, but depression doesn't have me. I have anxiety, but, you know, it's, I sort of think about it like this. Somebody who has heart disease. Maybe they've had a heart attack or they have high cholesterol. You don't walk around and call them, oh, yeah, here's my friend Chris. He's heart disease. You know? So, but we do that when we talk about other people. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Steve, he's depressed. It's different. Or, you know, my dad, who has been a runner as long as I can remember, career fireman in amazing shape at 56, 57 years old, running marathons, doing all this stuff, very active, very fit guy. But he can come to the house to my daughter's birthday party, which was here just a couple months ago, and he was talking about being on medication for his high triglycerides. And when he left, I thought, you know, it's so interesting that here's this guy who is in fantastic shape, very physically fit, eating well, doing all the right things, and yet he has high cholesterol. And it's perfectly okay to talk about that in a group full of strangers at a three-year-old's birthday party. But for me, this guy who is very fit, doing all the right things, eating well, sleeping well, exercising, going to doing all the things I'm supposed to do, and yet I have depression. But we're not supposed to talk about that, right? Because there's this stigma. So I feel like I'm sort of rabbit trailing here. But that's my goal, is to say – there's power in sharing our stories. There's power in letting people know that they are not alone in their struggles. That for me, God has not snapped his fingers and changed me in an instant, but that God has worked ordinarily through prayer and meditation and therapy and medication, and all of these things have changed my life for the better and allowed me to heal and recover. And boy, life today doesn't look anything like it did 5 years ago. And I'm so thankful for that.
Certainly, certainly. And you know, I don't know if congratulations is the right way of saying it, but you know, just the fact that, you know, you've after the suicide attempt, you know, you've done what needs to be done to get to this point. And that's to be applauded, because I think, you know, everything, like you said earlier, you know, we don't talk about the drag out fight we had with our spouse last night or the all the bad things that happen on social media. So, you know, it's easy to feel like maybe you're, even though, you know, mentally, you know, you're not the only person that might struggle with whatever. It's easy to feel like that from the social media thing. So then it just compounds and gets worse. And until you're at your breaking point, which you were, and then, you know, you're coming out of it now. Where did running come into the fray for you?
So I, almost a year, it was November of last year. We have a 5-year-old, almost 6-year-old little boy, and a 3-year-old daughter. And I hit that place where I said, you know what? I'm almost 35 years old. I'm 30 pounds overweight. I haven't worked out since high school. I can't keep up with my kids. I'm dealing with this mental health stuff. And I've heard all these crazy people talk about how exercise is so good for your mental health. You know, maybe I should give this a try. And so I did. I jumped in. I signed up for a gym membership online at bedtime on a whim and said, this is the only way I'm going to do it, is if I put my money where my mouth is. If I pay for this membership, then I'll actually go. And so I did. I started going. I got a trainer, lost about 35 pounds, was just doing some weights and a whole lot of cardio and trying to lose some weight. And suddenly I said, oh, my gosh, I'm sleeping better. I'm feeling so much better. I've gone from taking anxiety meds 3 times a day to once a day. You know, it just exercise absolutely changed my life. And so I did that for 6 months, and I'm still going to the gym regularly. But I did that for 6 months, and then I said, you know, why not try running? My dad's been a runner as long as I can remember. And then my wife said, you know what? I think I want to train and do a half marathon. Her sister is a marathon runner. And she said, I think I want to train to do a half marathon. And my wife was just like me, hadn't worked out since high school. She was a power lifter in high school, state champ, all this crazy stuff, but hadn't done anything. Life happened, kids happened. And, you know, we just got busy doing other things and sort of let ourselves go. And so when she said, I think I want to train for a half marathon. I said, you know what? I'll do this with you. And so we started running together. We started doing Jeff Galloway's app, the training for the half marathon app, which is the run, walk, run method. And man, I just fell in love with it. I said, I can do this. And so it's been about 2 months for us. We've been running. It's been 3 months. It's been 3 months for us now that we've been running. We're brand new at it. We ran our first 5K on our 10-year anniversary. Had a blast. Certainly didn't win any races, but had a great time. And we just ran here in Birmingham. There's this beautiful, massive state park, Oak Mountain State Park. And we did an 8-mile run with 600 of our closest friends on the 4th of July, 4 miles straight up hills, this 1,000-foot elevation, straight uphill, and then 4 miles back. Had such a great time. And so we're hooked. We just love it.
Good, good. What race are y'all training for?
So Lindsay is going to run the Magic City Half, which is here in downtown Birmingham, in November. She's running that with her sister. So I'm going to let them have their girl day and do that. Yeah. And then I'm going to run the Mercedes Half, which is also downtown Birmingham, in February.
Nice, nice.
And then we got lots of little 5Ks and stuff along the way in between.
Oh, of course, of course. And, you know, with where you are now, if you just did 8 miles with four of them straight uphill and straight downhill, those half marathons won't be any big deal by the time those dates roll around.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I ran 8 miles on Monday here around town and felt great. And so, you know, I'm not any crazy fast runner. My pace is somewhere between 9 and 10 minutes. I'm not super fast yet, but I'm getting faster every day and feeling stronger every day. And I just, like I say, it's, man, if I didn't feel so good, it blows me away. I know I'm preaching the choir here, but how you can completely empty yourself after a run and feel so good, it makes no sense, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. No, and you're definitely preaching to the choir on this front when it comes to the running thing. Everybody here has their reasons that what their benefits are, what they're working towards. But I think we can all probably come together and relate that. Yeah, I mean, after a good hard run, when you're just worn out, it's a feeling that we kind of live for. You know, we look for as often as we can get.
Yeah. Yep.
So, bridging, you know, bringing the two together, and I've had a few folks on before that have talked about, you know, running and helping, how it helps them with their depression, with their anxiety, with their whatever type of different mental issues, disease. I don't know exactly what the right mental disorders,
mental
maybe.
Health,
mental,
yeah,
health,
mental,
yeah,
health.
Whatever different mental health struggles that they've been having. For you, and we kind of have touched on a little bit, but between, you know, your specific examples and how it's helped you, and from some of the stories you're starting to hear from the Run 3 For Me folks, you know, I don't know the best way of what I'm exactly trying to ask, but can you maybe try to put into words for those of us that are fortunate enough to have not had, you know, I don't want to say ever had any type of mental health issues, because of course we all kind of have our own little demons that we wrestle with, but to the level that you were, to the level of considering and actually going through with trying to take your life, you know, the difference from that, from being at that low point to where you are now, and I don't know if the best way to ask this, other than, you know, the role that running has played for you, if you can put into words, if that's just too out there to even try to verbalize.
Yeah, I think it, as I mentioned, it has drastically lowered my anxiety. I am now med free, which is amazing. That is absolutely with my doctor's observation and guidance and all of that. Good Lord, please, if you're listening, don't go off your meds without your doctor's approval and advice. But yeah, I am completely med free. And that is, that's the first time in, oh my goodness, about 8 years. And it feels great. So what it has done for my physical health and losing weight, what it's done for my mental health and lowering my anxiety, what it's done for me and allowing me to sleep, is just unbelievable. I have had terrible, terrible, terrible sleep habits for years and years and years. And now, man, I'm sleeping really well. So that's huge. And then this running community, these people who are typically really happy and friendly and helpful and willing to talk about what has worked for them and share their story. You know, you just start talking to a runner and ask them, what are they doing or what have they learned or what's their favorite run, you know, their favorite race or whatever. People will talk. People will share their story. And that is, there's nothing more powerful than a personal story for me. So connecting and being able to walk into somebody else's story for a few minutes is just huge. And then opening it up and doing this run three for me and giving people space, not just to tell their happy stories of their favorite race or whatever, but to tell their deepest, darkest struggles, to share, gosh, some of the stories that I have heard. And I don't go in I will usually share, if I get a whole email, you know, it might be a 1,000-word email, I'll share a paragraph of it on social media. But the stories of the early 20-year-old guy who attempted to take his life here about 4 months ago, son of a dear friend of mine, and listening to his recovery story and how hard it's been and how good it's been and how beautiful it's been, and connecting with someone there and being able to say, hey, me too, and being able to say you're not alone, that you're not the only one going through this, that we're here for you, that I hear you, I support you, I'm praying for you, whatever that may be. Being able to do those things is so cool. Hearing from the mom that emailed me about, I guess it's been about a month ago now, and she rattled off 6 or 7 people in her family who are dealing with some sort of a mental health diagnosis, whether it's bipolar, anxiety, depression, you name it, and saying, would you run for my whole family? It is such an honor. It's such a humbling thing, because I know what that is like, because I have been there, because I know what it sounds like to be rolled down that hallway at the hospital and hear the metal door of the psych ward latch shut behind you and know, hey, wow, life just took one heck of a turn. To know what that's like and be able to encourage other people in their journey toward wholeness, wholehearted living, back to a place where they can find beauty and goodness in everyday life again. It's just the greatest gift in the whole world. And that comes from running. It comes from this run three for me thing, just opening it up and saying, tell me your story. It's just great. I love it.
You mentioned the community thing, and it just comes back right there at the end with you know, sharing the stories, and you're able to hear their stories and maybe, I'm assuming, probably correspond back with the folks sometimes and share a little bit of your story back with them, or they get it, they get your story from the website or whatever. For those of us that well, I guess maybe it's a two-part question, which I know, you know, bad podcast host, don't ask two questions at once, but we'll break the rules. I think they work together enough that they don't really want to ask one without the other. I'm going to assume that most people that were around you when you were at that point didn't know that you were struggling as much as you were. Didn't, you know, because like you said, it's something that you don't talk about. You don't talk about mental illness. You don't talk about mental health issues. Like we do talk about, you know, like you said with your dad, oh, I take a cholesterol pill. Like, that's no big deal to talk about. So I'm going to assume that most people didn't know the depth of your struggle, maybe anyone outside of yourself.
That's right.
So, and I'm also going to assume, again, you correct me if I'm wrong here, that a good community helps with that. You could be really struggling mentally, but if you have a good supportive community that whether they know the depths or not, just that care about you, can help. So where I'm trying to get at here is, for those of us that are in running groups or that we run with friends regularly, you know, what can we – again, I don't know the best way of asking this other than, like, what can we do, even if we don't know that somebody's struggling, to put ourselves out there? What would you have looked for, maybe this is the best way to ask it, when you were struggling at your lowest, what could somebody have done, said to give you that to help you feel maybe comfortable to open up at least just a little bit to kind of share some of what you were struggling with. And if that makes sense. And I know that when we're out running, that's an easy time to have lots of great conversations, lots of in-depth, sometimes difficult conversations with your running friends. So you know, if somebody's struggling or somebody that wants to be helpful, are there ways to try to help start that conversation that you know of that would have helped you or that you've learned since then?
Yes. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, and I think this is the greatest message of any religion or any motivational speaker or any really good book on self-development, the greatest, simplest message of anything I could tell anyone, whether it relates to spirituality or politics or life in general, is this is where to start. Don't be a butthole. like that's where I would start, is just if you are living your life trying to be as kind as you can to the person in front of you, and people know that you're a safe person, a safe space, you can't force anybody to tell their story.
Right.
You can't force anyone to open up. If someone is buried under piles of shame and they've had this lifelong pattern of secret keeping, there's nothing you can do to make them open up. But if someone is desperate to open up and they know that you're a safe person, they might very well open up to you. If they think you're a butthole, they're not going to open up to you. So there are certainly red flags to look for. The person that was very involved in your run club and showed up every Saturday or every Wednesday night or whenever it is that you do your run thing, and they've been there for 6 months and suddenly they haven't been there for 3 weeks and you haven't seen them on Facebook or you haven't gotten a text or whatever the case is, you haven't heard from them for a while, just do the decent thing and reach out. Hey, buddy, hadn't heard from you. We miss you. How's everything going? Mm-hmm. Something simple like that. You're not, hey, man, are you dealing with mental illness? You don't have to do all that, but just simply reaching out when someone has totally pulled back is great. That's a huge red flag when somebody just pulls away. If you notice that somebody's got an increased use of alcohol or drugs, that's another one. You notice that whoever shows up, and maybe you, after a long run, you guys go out and have a beer, pretty common. But you notice somebody's like suddenly just getting plastered. You know, might be an opportune time to have a conversation. Anyone that's isolating from family and friends. I'm just trying to think of a few red flags here. Aggression. You notice somebody who's typically easygoing, happy, on top of the world, encouraging, positive, or just kind of an even keel person, and suddenly they're more aggressive. That's a good warning sign. If it's someone that you know close-knit, this I guess would not be a run buddy, but in your family, friends, whatever, somebody that's sleeping way too much or not sleeping hardly at all, that's a huge red flag. Obviously people that visit, call, text to say goodbye, that's a major flag. Right. So those are some things to look out for. I guess I didn't give you a great tip on getting someone to open up, but I just go back to do your best to be a safe person, to be a kind person. And if someone wants to open up, is desperate to open up, then you got a great chance of them doing that.
Right. And I think you did cover it, because I think what you said was that, you know, you can't force anybody to open up. And I think that's a good thing to remember. Like we can't, if we're maybe worried that something's going on and we're seeing a couple of those red flags, like you can't force them to talk to you. You can't force them to do anything. But like you said, if you can just be kind and be loving and be a safe place for them, then if/when that person is ready, like that at least they'll only have one person they can they hopefully come to and talk to and share with, and that might be the difference between, you know, a positive outcome and a very, very opposite, you know, very, very bad situation that could result of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, and then there's just things like being a good listener. When you ask, hey, man, how are you? Wait and listen for the response. Most of the time people are going to say, fine, how are you?
Right.
You know, that's
right.
That's how we roll. But if somebody's going to go there and say, you know what, it's really been a crappy week. Well, okay. So then ask a curious question. Well, tell me more about that. What's going on? You know, and so you may really get somebody to open up that way if they're willing to say more than just fine, thanks, how are you?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just listen and be present, you know, maybe put the phone, especially if they don't just say just fine, how are you? Like put the phone down and you know,
yeah.
Pay attention and have a real conversation at that point.
That's it.
So shifting gears a little bit before we wrap up today, Steve, you got like three podcasts out there. What is going on? What are you different podcasts you're doing? What are they about? I mean, obviously you listen to people that, or you're talking to people, or we're talking and people that are listening to our conversation that enjoy the podcast medium that have you know, have podcasts that they listen to. And if they're like me at all, they're always looking for more podcasts to listen to and maybe a few more hours in the day to listen to them.
Sure.
Spoiler alert, listen on 2X and you can get through a lot of stuff a lot quicker.
Yes. Oh, I'm a 1.5 guy.
1.5. You're working up. You're getting there. You'll get there. But what are your shows and what are they about, and what you know, I'm assuming probably iTunes and Stitcher and the whole nine yards, but what are the titles so people can find them and we can link to them for you?
Yeah, so the you say three, and three is technically correct, but one is just a Serial podcast.
Okay.
So if you like things like Serial or S-Town, that kind of stuff, I have a Serial podcast, which is my story. So I took my memoir, which is From Pastor to a Psych Ward. It's my Amazon bestseller, my first book. I took that and turned it into a Serial podcast. So it is essentially an audio book. It's just in podcast form. So it's a 13 episode Serial podcast called From Pastor to a Psych Ward. So if you're interested in hearing my journey of how this guy can go from seemingly having it all together, this pastor, this outspoken Christian, to landing himself on a psych ward after a serious suicide attempt, then definitely go check it out, From Pastor to a Psych Ward on iTunes. So that one is there. It's just static. It's just there for people to check out. Then the one that I do, weekly, we're off this summer, but it's called CXMH, and it's a podcast at the intersection of Christianity and mental health. So, my friend Robert Vore and I co-host that together, and we, every week interview, we try to have two guests on per week. Sometimes we just have one, but we try to get a mental health professional and some type of faith leader on the same show, and we talk about various facets of faith and mental health. So that one is CXMH. We're off for the summer, but you can go back and listen to any of the previous podcasts. They're all sort of that evergreen material you can listen to anytime. And then the third one is just mine, and it is Ask Steve Austin. So the other part of my life is that I'm a life coach. And it all just flows really well together in recovering from the suicide attempt, in connecting with other people who are really struggling. I'm way too ADHD to go back to school and get a counseling degree. But I said, you know what? I can do this 6-month coursework to get certified as a life coach. And I love it. I have become a wellness coach. And so in doing that, people have lots of questions and they want advice and they want to know my perspective on things. And so I started this hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Ask Steve Austin. And that turned into a podcast. So I take questions that I get from Twitter through the week and I answer them on my podcast. So it's sort of a, I don't know, male 35-year-old Dear Abby, maybe? I don't know. I mean, that's a horrible comparison. I don't know. But, you know, it is literally anything that falls under the umbrella of my blog, really, which is gracesmessy.com. So it could be faith. It could be recovery. It could be mental health. It could be parenting or marriage, just about anything. And so I just put out a podcast about once a week and answer people's questions. And it is just so much fun. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. It's I know from doing one show, it's a lot of work. So you got, I mean, I guess maybe you're, like you said, you got three technically, but the one is pretty much done and dusted and it's out there, but still doing a couple shows on a regular basis on top of everything else. That's a lot of work. So kudos to you for finding the time and getting them done.
Oh, thanks.
And, one thing that I would love to, one additional question that wasn't even on my radar until just now, as you kind of were wrapping up and talking about the last podcast, the Ask Steve Austin podcast. And I'm also a person of faith. And so I just, and this may be, this may turn some folks off, but that's fine. It's the end of it. We're wrapping up here. So if you don't want to talk a little bit of faith, I'll forgive you guys. But, how has the church reacted, embraced, hopefully not distanced themselves, but that's probably a possibility too. How has your perception of the church changed, been impacted as you came out more with your story and shared more about it and were more vulnerable about, this is who I am. I'm you know, this guy has been at the church forever, my whole life, raised in the faith, and I've got some serious mental health issues that I'm struggling with to the point where I would try to take my life. How is that? Has that been positive, negative, neutral? How has that relationship changed or stayed the same during that you know, the last 8 years or 9 years or however long, you know, from where you were going down to coming back up now?
It has been what I would call a strained relationship. There's a very strong stigma about mental health in the church. And I am just at this place where I can't not share my story. I know what not telling the truth did to me for the first 28 years, and I nearly died from it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not willing to be quiet anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I want to be disrespectful.
Right.
People are on their journey and we're all at different places. But I know that there's a lot of pain hiding in church pews every single day. People who go and put on the I'm a good little person of faith mask, and I dress up and I go to church on Sunday, and I know when to sing, and I know when to stand, and I know when to kneel, and they walk away not changed. They walk away hurting because they've seen how, for me, the faith is Christianity. They've seen how other Christians have treated people who don't have it all together. And I believe from reading the words of Jesus that shame and love can't coexist. And so I think we've got to get past that shame of believing that you can't be Christian and have mental illness, that you can't be Christian and be crazy. And crazy is a terrible word to use,
right.
But to know that, sort of what I said at the very beginning, that we are whole people, that we are mind, body, and spirit. And so sometimes you can be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can be so focused on the next life that you forget to love your neighbor, mm-hmm. love yourself. Yes, love God with all your heart, absolutely. But we do that part of it really well, and then we forget to take care of each other. And so, man, I think if we were just kind, I think loving your neighbor really looks like kindness most of the time. Mm-hmm. And if we just tried harder as a people of faith to be kind, to get past all the churchy lingo and just talk about real life and be there for people when they're sitting in the ashes, sit in the ashes with them. Mm-hmm. Give people a place to truly come just as they are and rest when they are weary and beaten down by things that have happened to them or poor choices that they've made, and not walk away from people. I think the church would look a whole lot more like Jesus if we did that.
Yes. What about your relationship with God? You know, take the church and the people and the organization out of it. Your walk, good, bad, indifferent. What's been the change there, or has there been a change there?
There's been a huge change there. There's been a huge shift. I feel closer to God than ever in my life. Mm-hmm. I feel more excited about my journey towards Jesus than ever. I feel a little more discouraged about the church as an institution, mm-hmm. Than I've ever felt, if I'm just being totally honest. I think we've, especially in the evangelical world, I think we've really gotten away from the message of Jesus, and we've leaned more toward dogma and the religious right and the marriage of the religious right and politics. And I think that people in power, whether it's in politics or in the church, are not using that power the best way they could. So I'm discouraged by that, if I'm being totally honest. But my relationship with God is evolving. If I had known 5 years ago that I would be where I am now, I'd probably been like, oh my gosh, like, dude, what are you doing? but I'm meditating for the mm-hmm. first time in my life. And that is something that would have been a huge no-no growing up. Like, what do you mean you're meditating? And I don't mean like sitting in the grass, you know, right. Home, you know, but I'm learning about guided meditation and breathing. And my favorite definition for meditation is a vacation from concern. And I think so many of us have so many concerns and worries, and I've got to do the next thing on my list. And I've, you know, we're married to our iCalendars, and we've got all these things to do, but just taking 10 minutes out of my day to breathe. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It has changed my life. It has made me more present in all of my relationships. It's made me a better employee. It's made me a better husband, a better listener, a better dad. And yeah, I'm answering your question in a long roundabout way, but I'm excited about my walk with God. I am learning that something that's totally changed. For the longest time, I grew up hearing, you know, narrow is the way to God, narrow is the way to Jesus, you know, the whole eye of the needle thing, and wide is the path to destruction. And I had this particular mindset around that. But I am beginning, from the things I'm reading and listening to and the way that my world is shifting, I'm thinking that the way is narrow, but it's so narrow. I heard a guy say it's so narrow that you can only go through it one at a time. So our journeys are individual, and we can't – I think when the church comes out and says, this is the schematic – you know, like if you were a district manager for a retail chain and you came out with, this is the schematic for the stores across the nation mm-hmm. for the next month, that might work for Old Navy. But when you're dealing with a human being with all kinds of traumas and pains and experiences that are individual to them, and you try to say, this mm-hmm. is the way that you must live your life or whatever, I think we've got to give people room to wrestle, to have questions and doubts, and to be a whole person. And if we would do that, man, I'd be more fired up about Christianity as a whole than I've ever been.
Mm. Yes. This might be the first time we've had church on the podcast, but I'm glad we went here, Steve. I'm glad
you
we did.
Asked.
You asked. I absolutely did.
And hopefully the handful of people that continued to listen will have enjoyed it as much as I have. Cause, I think we're simpatico on a lot of what you've had to say.
I was trying to be careful and tread lightly.
I asked. So it's all good. If it went off the, I don't think it went off the rails, but if it had gone off the rails there, that would be all on me. So, as we're going to put a little running bow back on things at the end here, for those that have stuck through the little bit of church, in case that's not what they came here for, but we stuck it in on them, to end off with a little bit of running. I'd just be curious, the way I've been ending the show recently is with what I call a philosophical question, which maybe we've just had a little bit of those as well, with the church talk, but back to the running side of things. And when I say philosophical, I mean just very open-ended, a very simple question, kind of like the introductory question, very, very simple. And you're welcome to take it whichever way you want to go, whether it's a short answer, medium answer, long answer, it's all well and good with me. But I would just be curious, in the not too long that you've been running, what is something that you've learned about yourself that you can probably credit running for teaching you? What has running taught you about yourself in the months that you've been partaking in our sport?
That's really good. I don't know about taught, but it has taught me that I don't give myself enough space to, or I didn't for a long time give myself enough space to discover me and what I think and what I believe about things and my view on the world as an individual. It's given me space to be a lot more thankful for what I have. I have found a lot more contentment since I've started running. When I run, I start my run. I've got music. I have to have music. Mm-hmm. But I start my run with a whole lot of positive affirmations. So whether they are true today or not, they are either true or they are things I want to be true. So I am a good husband. I am an engaged father. I am a good friend. I am a prompt and responsible employee. I am generous. I am kind. And for me, we go to the faith thing. I am the love of God. I am the peace of God. I am the presence of God. And I go through all of these things as I'm running. And man, I get through that first mile and a half or so, and I'm grinning like a fool. Like I'm just so happy. And it's like, yeah, these are the things that either are already true or will be true because I'm telling myself, I'm committing to myself these things. Because the truth is, most of us are so negative. The negative self-talk, we talk to ourselves in ways that we wouldn't talk to a dog. We wouldn't talk to our worst enemy and say the things that we say to ourselves when we screw up, when we drop the ball, when we totally blow it. And so I'm trying to shift, not that bad things aren't going to happen, not that we aren't going to mess up, we will. But if we would be kind to ourselves, if we would let go of the unrealistic expectations of other people or the unrealistic expectations that we have put on ourselves and just let go sometimes and give ourselves permission to just be a human and just take a deep breath. Running has done all that for me. It has given me space to just be me. I'm not competing with anybody else. I'm not trying to win any race. I'm just out there trying to be the best, most wholehearted person I can be.
Perfect. That's as per usual. I'm going to try to stay out of the way and not even muddy the waters. That's a beautiful lesson, and I think that probably something that more than one person can also relate to, and certainly the person you're talking to today, Steve, can relate to that as well. So thank you for sharing that. And again, guys, as we're wrapping up today, IamSteveAustin.com is the website, and the same handle on Twitter and Instagram, IamSteveAustin there. Facebook, look for Grace is Messy. And we'll have all the links to at DizRuns.com/447. And don't forget the hashtag run3 for me. If you've got, I know that there's some that have a story of suicide in the family, and I'm sure with statistics there's those that have struggled with it or contemplated or whatever that are listening to this, if you want to reach out and maybe share your story with Steve, I know he'd be happy to hear it. So run
please email me.
Yes, definitely. Email address, Steve, for you if people want to email you.
Yeah, steve@iamsteveaustin.com. And real quick, just to clarify, it is absolutely for suicide prevention, but anybody who's living with just the daily struggle of a lived experience with mental illness and you just want somebody to run in honor of your fight, definitely reach out.
There you go. There you go. Do it. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time today, sharing your story. It's a little different conversation than we usually have, but that doesn't mean that it's not an important conversation. So I'm glad we were able to have it today. Thanks for what you're doing, and certainly looking forward to staying in touch. And if there's anything that we can do to help out with what you're doing and what you have going on, please let me know. Happy to do it. And nothing but the best going forward, and looking forward to staying in touch.
Man, thank you so much. I had such a great time. Thanks for giving me space to share my story. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Steve and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your big takeaway? What was the thing that made you stop and think for a little bit? To me, it's real simple. My takeaway is basically two words. Just be kind. Just be kind. You don't know what other people are going through, just like other people don't know what you're going through. And, when in doubt, which is all the time, err on the side of being kind. Err on the side of when somebody cuts you off on a race, as frustrating as it is, and as much as I've been that guy that's said some things that maybe I shouldn't have, try to pause for just a second and remember to be kind. Because you don't know. They probably didn't do it on purpose. So just be kind. Don't say something snarky to them or whatever the case may be. Just be kind. I'm not going to unpack that very, very much farther, because I think if I do, I'm just watering it down. So over the course of this entire conversation, everything we talked about, especially with obviously some of the depression and anxiety and the suicide attempt part of Steve's story, it just comes down to being kind. And who knows how that might unfold, what the butterfly effect of just simply being kind to someone, caring about them, offering to talk to them, offering to just listen for them. Who knows what that might do for somebody, and it might make a world of difference. So be kind, be kind. The world is short on kindness sometimes, especially social media, especially sometimes in pop culture and politics and religion and all that kind of good stuff. Just be kind. In doing so, you're going to make the world a little bit better place. And it's something I'm going to continue to keep working on, try to get better at. And I hope that maybe you'll try too. But whether that was your takeaway or whether it was something else, I would love to hear what stood out to you from this episode. Let me know. You know all the avenues to do it, on the Twitters @DizRuns, on the email on the email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And on the show notes, you can head over to the show notes for this episode. And that link there is DizRuns.com/447. And that way you can leave a comment there for others to see. You can also check out, get the links over to Steve's stuff. Check out his podcasts, his website, the great work he's doing. And if you have a story to submit for him to run three for you, he'd be happy to do it. And that information there is in the show notes as well. You can click right over to that page and submit your story, your situation, and he'll be happy to run some miles for you. So that is it for today. I know this one was a little bit heavier than normal, but I'm honored that we got to have this conversation. And like I said earlier, this is the conversation that could save somebody's life. It really could be that powerful. So I hope that you will consider sharing it on whatever platform, snail mail, email, smoke signal, carrier pigeon, whatever works best for you, because it can make a difference. It really could. So that is it for today. We'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing at this point. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode, even though maybe it wasn't the most fun and exciting episode like a lot of the other ones. It was a little bit different, but it was powerful. And I was honored to take part in it, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and call it a day. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great rest of your day. And if I can do something for you, let me know. I'm always happy to. But until then, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.